Going to replenish our military. It's totally depleted. And we're going to knock the hell out of ISIS. We have no choice. We're going to take care of our vets. We're going to have strong borders. We're going to build the wall, and yes, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. We're going to end Common Core. We're bringing education local. We are going to make the greatest trade deals. Right now, they're worse, the worst ever made. NAFTA's a disaster. We're going to renegotiate our trade deals. We're going to bring jobs back. We're not going to let our jobs leave. We are going to make America great again. Believe me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Good morning, good Friday, Las Vegas. This isn't Kevin Wall. This is Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com filling in for the great Kevin Wall today on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. And this is going to be a free-for-all Friday. I've sat behind this mic before for Wayne Allen Root last week. I've sat behind this mic before for Kevin Wall. And I like to call Fridays free-for-all Fridays because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news going on. This election is like none other that we've ever seen. So I'm going to cover a lot of topics today, but if there is a comment you want to make, you can call at 702-546-4790. And if there is a topic that I haven't hit and you want to talk about, you can pick up the phone, send me a tweet at Reagan_baby, or find my Facebook page on Reagan Baby. So on ReaganBaby.com, I collaborate with a lot of different writers, investigative journalists by the name of Katie Grimes. And, you know, investigative journalists are hard to come by these days, aren't they? You know, there's so much truth out there to be found. But what we have found through WikiLeaks is that the press colludes with the DNC. In so much that Ken Vogel of Politico was sending over his articles to the DNC to make sure that the articles fit with the narrative that the Democrats wanted to talk about, that the talking points were all laid out. So basically what we have now is we have a press that is a propaganda arm of the DNC. So I feel like it's my duty, and there's others on this station like Wayne Allen Root, Kevin Wall, Mike Savage, etc., that bring you the truth that no one in the press wants to talk about. But it seems like the press, especially after this immigration speech that Donald Trump gave 2 days ago, which was an absolute phenom. I mean, you want to talk about a money bomb? Donald Trump's website went down after that speech because so many people flooded his website in order to donate. He generated $5 million just off that one speech. And I printed out this speech for you all today. It is 17 pages long. That's how long he talked. We are going to have some cuts coming up from that speech. We are going to talk about immigration. We are going to talk about the costs of illegal immigration. And also coming up in this hour, which I am completely excited about, is one of my favorite bloggers and reporters, Daniel Greenfield. Now, if you don't know Daniel Greenfield, I encourage you to go over to Sultan Knish, the website sultanknish.com, or frontpagemag.com. That's mag as in short for magazine or a mag that you have on your gun. Frontpagemag.com. And the top story there by Daniel Greenfield, which he and I are going to talk about at 9:34, is the media's dirty Clinton ties, buys, and lies. And what I like about Daniel Greenfield is that he does not fear the truth. He speaks the truth, and he speaks the truth without apology. That's what I also like about Donald Trump. He has no fear. And because there are people like Trump and Daniel Greenfield who speak without fear, you see the left completely unhinged. Unhinged. After Donald Trump's immigration speech, I had to turn on, you know, the various news channels, and I say news very loosely, news channels, and I look over at CNN, and you got Don Lemon, and I go over to MSNBC, and you got Chris, let me get my tingle up my leg, Matthews. And they're all just, you know, wringing their hands in desperation, trying to figure out, how is Donald Trump going to pay for this wall? I mean, the Mexican president, Peña, said, oh, no, we're not paying for it. How is Donald Trump going to pay for it? Is that the first time you've ever heard a Democrat worry about how they're going to pay for something? I mean, all of a sudden, they're worried about how they're going to get money to pay for something. To pay for our safety and our security. And make no mistake about it, they believe, and they want you to believe, that there's never going to be a check cut by the president of Mexico or the Mexican government. So therefore, he's just lying. He's not ever going to build a wall. Trump is just, you know, flip-flopping. And you know what's also interesting? When a Democrat changes his mind or flip-flops, it's called something like they evolve. Like Hillary Clinton evolved on gay marriage. Yeah, okay. Well, Donald Trump very clearly in his speech did not evolve on anything. As a matter of fact, he doubled down. And he did not only say we're going to build a wall, but we're going to attack this illegal immigration problem by land, by air, by sea. And oh yeah, those tunnels underground, they're gone. We're going to monitor those also. I mean, if we could put a man on the moon, don't you think we can protect our border with some sort of technology? Because right now, we're not using any technology to protect our border. As a matter of fact, because of the progressives on the left, and I'll get to progressives in a minute, but because of the progressives on the left, we have no border. Why? Because they're funded by billionaire communists like George Soros, who runs the Open Society Foundation. Open society, open borders. They go hand in hand. Now, for those of you that don't know much about George Soros, WikiLeaks actually exposed quite a bit about his foundation or organization through a hack, but the press isn't talking about it. Why? If there was a communist billionaire that was funding a Republican candidate, it would be front page news, and it would be the headline story on the nightly news every single night. Soros, as a matter of fact, was banned from living in Europe after he basically bankrupted the pound and then took his billions and fled to Australia. But he has no problem funneling money to Hillary Clinton. $31 million so far he's given her campaign. She can't make it to Louisiana. You know, she's not going to make it to Florida. I mean, she can't even hardly get out of bed. And, you know, the interesting thing is, September 7th, I think it is, it's coming up, she is going to have a sit-down, finally, with Donald Trump and with Matt Lauer. Now, Matt Lauer has given to the Clinton Foundation, like, most major news outlets have. But I thought, you know, I was asked this morning, I do shows every Friday morning, I do a couple of them, and I was asked by one of the hosts, Bill Martinez, you know, why do you think they're having this before the big three debates? And I said, Hillary needs practice, and she needs to sit down. This is going to be like a town hall. So, you know, whenever you see Hillary trying to give a speech, there's always a stool nearby. I mean, there was actually something trending on Twitter called Hillary's stool, because the woman can hardly stand up straight for any length of time. And when she's not having some sort of epileptic seizure, she tries to stay on point. But we're going to see what Hillary is made of this next week. And we're also going to see Donald Trump next week walk into Detroit. When's the last time, those that are political observers, maybe you're new to the show, but if you're listening, I have to think that you're, you know, pretty in tune with the political game. What drives me crazy is when people say, well, you know, I'm just not really interested in politics. Well, politics is interested in you. Every time you go fill up your car, that's politics. There's taxes in that tank of gas. Every time you get a paycheck, you got politicians in your back pocket. And, you know, the more and more I talk to women, especially, there's some women that I find are more engaged in this election than I have ever seen. One, I think it's because there's a woman on the ticket. But most of the women that I know, and it's not because I don't know a lot of people. Look, I got friends from all different sorts of backgrounds. Okay, I have Bernie Sanders supporters, Hillary supporters. But I have a lot of independent voters and a lot of women just getting involved in politics for the first time. Why? It's not because of Hillary Clinton. She's been in politics for 35 years. It's because Donald Trump came on the scene and grabbed the narrative, beat 16 other people, and has the guts to walk into a place like Detroit in a Democrat stronghold for nearly a century and talk about jobs and talk about safety and security and talk about the failed progressive policies which have created more unemployment, specifically within communities of color, more dependency on government, specifically in communities of color. And if you didn't notice the latest news coming out of Chicago, every 32 hours, there's a murder. Chicago now, and this is Barack Obama's old hometown that he so organized so well as a community organizer. Chicago has more murders than New York and LA combined. And that's just this year. 90 murders over this past weekend. If you check out Drudge, there's a link about an Arizona couple who I guess made some money off of YouTube. I don't really know how they made it, but now YouTube is going to shut down free speech, and we'll get that to that a little bit later in the show. This couple decided to take their wealth and move to Chicago because they could. They wanted to check out something new. They lasted 24 hours. Because of the crime. They were assaulted on the L by a deranged man. They had to call 911 and seek refuge in a subway. They had to call Uber in order to get out of there. The very next day, they were followed again in Chicago. And they basically took their young kid and their fortune and said, no thanks, we're done. 24 hours, Chicago, we're out of here. Now, I got to tell you, I am from outside Chicago. And that is one of the best cities on the face of the earth. Could be one of the best cities if it wasn't run into the ground by progressives. Because progressives never want to look backwards. They always want to make sure that you look forward so you don't see all the death and destruction that they left in their wake. So they always say, forward. We just need to do more. We've come so far. Really? Have you seen the latest job numbers? We got close to 95 million people not in the labor force. Tell me how that's progressive. We got 59% black unemployment. How is that progressive? The jobs number is only 151,000, which is unchanged. It's anemic. We're not going anywhere, just like our GDP. But we are going to have to go somewhere. We're going to have to take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about Daniel Greenfield a little bit more. We're going to talk about lots of things. So stay tuned to 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBaby.com filling in for Kevin Wall on AM 790 Talk Now.
Academy, founded in honor of the legendary coach Jerry Tarkanian, provides young children of Nevada the life lessons they obtain through participating in sports, such as competition, work ethic, how to handle adversity, working together as a team, and most importantly, how to win with class and lose with dignity. The Tarkanian Basketball Academy is the largest privately owned basketball facility in Las Vegas. It's conveniently located in the middle of Las Vegas, just off of I-15 behind the Palace Station Hotel.
So I think we're
if you want to rent
price.
One of the four full-length basketball courts, join a club team, competitive or recreational, participate in individual workouts with our expert coaches, or just want to advertise your business, the Tarkanian Basketball Academy is the place to be. Call 702-871-0096. That number again, 702-871-0096. Or visit their website at tarkbball.com. Check out the Tarkanian Basketball Academy.
Okay. From executive producer LeBron James.
I need this like yesterday.
Cleveland entrepreneurs get a chance to compete for their shot at success.
That will be a game changer for me and our business.
I believe your hustle is going to make this happen.
We got work to do now.
It's hard work, but it's totally worth it.
Cleveland Hustles. Premiere episodes Wednesdays at 10.
Everybody can have great ideas, but you have what it takes in here.
Only on CNBC.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're looking for senior care for your mom or dad like I was, call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. Their local advisors will explain your options and help you select senior living communities at no cost to you.
To speak with your local senior care advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain. You don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close, I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few. The proud, the Marines.
I'm Eric Rauch, president and CEO of Ametherm and a client of City National Bank. Ametherm manufactures circuit protection thermistors. They're a type of circuit protection device that goes into power supplies, motor drives, medical equipment. We manufacture everything here in Carson City. We've been doing it for about 18 years now. We recently bought a building here in town. I thought the SBA process would be difficult and time-consuming, but City National Bank made it absolutely simple for me. We've grown over the last 10 years, and if it wasn't for City National Bank, there's no way we could have done it as easily as we have. They help me buy equipment. They help me with credit lines. I can handle almost any transaction I need to make online. City National Bank takes away all the financial worry that I have, so I can focus on building a great park, taking care of our customers. In the next 5, 10, 15 years, I know City National Bank is going to be there for me. City National is the way up for me and our business.
City National Bank, the way up. CNB.com, member FDIC.
When you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. 790. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
And you're back with Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall as he is on vacation this Labor Day. When is he coming back, Justin? With Eric Trump. All right. Awesome. Okay, so my producer, Justin, who makes things work so well here, he tells me Kevin's going to be back Tuesday morning, same time, same place, and he is going to be interviewing Eric Trump. That's going to be one great interview. You are not going to want to miss. Oh, goodness, that's right. I forgot. I'm usually on with Kevin on Monday mornings at 11, but I will be on with Kevin on Tuesday instead, since Labor Day is a holiday.
Eric will be at 11. You'll be right after.
And I am, okay, I'm the encore of Eric Trump.
That's the headliner. He's opening for you.
Oh, he's opening for me. Wonderful. Speaking of opening, I went to Coldplay last night, one of my favorite bands, and it was my first venture into the T-Mobile Arena. here in Las Vegas. And it is a fantastic arena. It has the best acoustics. We had great seats. And anywhere you sit, really, you've got a great seat. The people that work there are so friendly, and they're everywhere. You have a question, you just look to your right, someone's there to answer it for you. You could eat off the floors. You don't have to wait in line for everything. There's plenty of concessions. So on this Friday, I know that it's not everyone's Friday, especially the folks that work at T-Mobile, or we're a hospitality industry here in Las Vegas. So if you're going to work today, I hope you make it a great day. If it's not your Friday, I hope you just make it a great work weekend. And thank you to the whole hospitality industry for making this town run like clockwork. So anyway, speaking of clockwork, I got a couple minutes. And when we come back after this next break, we are going to be talking to Daniel Greenfield. And if you don't know who Daniel Greenfield is, you can find him on Twitter at Daniel Greenfield. And I just had actually retweeted a couple things. He's on top. He's a journalist. You know, these in this day and age, journalists are hard to come by that find the truth, give you the truth, and then you can make your decision and opinions from the truth. The left wing media right now is giving you the talking points that the Democrats want you to believe and hear. That's unjust. That's unfair. The best weapon in our arsenal as voters is the truth. And so Daniel Greenfield is one of the very few journalists left. He is one of the people that I actually cyber stalk. I'm always watching and following him on Twitter. And he'll be back with us at 9:34, just after the next break. And he's going to talk about his latest piece, The Media's Dirty Clinton Ties, Buys, and Lies. And he's going to talk about, where does media bias come from? Who has given to the Clinton Foundation in the media and the media elite? I was just looking at his Twitter feed, and he's got some information regarding the debate moderators. The debate moderators were announced this morning, actually. And there are three liberals and one, I guess, moderate. Surprise, surprise. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, who to expect in the debates. But one thing we also have to talk about is Hillary Clinton, the Saudi visa deal, and radical jihad. And this is where Daniel Greenfield really knocks it out of the park, is about jihadism and the importation of jihad. So we'll talk to Daniel Greenfield after this next break. This is Megan Barr with ReaganBaby.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks.
Annoy a liberal. Get a job. We're 790. Talk now.
Megan Barth, happy Friday, Las Vegas. Happy Friday, Reno, Nevada. Happy Friday, Nevada. This is going to be a free-for-all Friday. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBaby.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall as he's on vacation. Back in this seat on Tuesday, same time, same place. And I am told that on Tuesday, he's going to be interviewing Eric Trump, who's going to be kicking off my interview with Kevin, as we usually do on Fridays, but we're going to do on Tuesdays next week. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, as well, talking to Daniel Greenfield. And Daniel Greenfield, we have up on the line. Daniel, this is Megan Barth. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I have to tell you right off the bat that I'm a cyber stalker of yours. I follow your work religiously, and I thank you for it because I don't consider myself a journalist because I have a bias, but I do consider myself a truth seeker. And my blog, ReaganBaby.com, was inspired by Andrew Breitbart. My sage is Ronald Reagan, obviously. And I find that there's just this complete ethical bankruptcy in journalism. because they obviously have conspired with the DNC related to the talking points, as WikiLeaks has shown us. And they no longer just offer us the truth whereby then we can make our opinions from it. They just are giving us the talking points of the DNC, which are loaded with bias. So I appreciate the work that you do on exposing the truth on the moral and ethically bankrupt media. But I also appreciate your work that you do on exposing Islam. And there aren't many people that have the guts that can speak with the truth without fear. So I commend you on your work on Front Page Mag and on Sultan Kanish.
Thank you. And truth, I feel, is far more important than journalism. Anybody can call themselves a journalist. There's no real test for that. You just need the right degree for it. Truth is measured by whether it's actually objectively true or not. It's measured by the facts. And that's something that's very much lacking. You've said the media mainly reports DNC talking points. It absolutely does that. Their level of entanglement between the media, for example, the media and the Clinton Foundation, many of the major media organizations donated to the Clinton Foundation. They're now reporting on the Clinton Foundation. These kinds of conflicts of interest are typical in the media, and they're why nobody trusts the media anymore.
You're exactly right. And you write about this in your latest piece, and I believe this is your latest piece that I pulled off, The Media's Dirty Clinton Ties, Buys, and Lies. And you start off the piece by saying, where does media bias come from? And then you do say, what does the AP have in common with Trump? Both were hurting Hillary Clinton's chances to score payoffs from dictators, arms dealers, and tycoons with terrorist ties for the next 4 to 8 years. And tell us a little bit about what you found that you include in this piece related to how the media is intertwined with the Clinton Foundation and how this is impacting their journalistic efforts.
The Associated Press actually was conducting, I believe, a six-year investigation. They were looking at Hillary Clinton's meetings, her schedules. They were trying to get hold of them. They were fighting court battles over it. They did finally get hold of some of her schedule. In the schedule, they found that Hillary Clinton's meetings with people outside the government were largely with Clinton Foundation donors. More than half the people she had met with were Clinton Foundation donors. And this was really shocking, and Trump actually repeated it at a rally, and the media really pounced on the Associated Press. You had multiple just outlets. Some initially just ignored the story and were hoping to bury it, then they began attacking the Associated Press. And this was really unprecedented because the Associated Press is very respected. It's used by the media itself, obviously, on a regular basis. And they went after the Associated Press for the crime of, again, reporting something negative about Hillary Clinton. And many of these media outlets themselves were donors to the Clinton Foundation. They did not reveal this to their viewers. They did not discuss this. And this was just a blatant conflict of interest.
And you say the New York Times, it's interesting to me, because now that you have the press turning on their own, and those in the press that are actually turning on their own are Clinton Foundation donors. And you say Carlos Slim, who is the Mexican-Lebanese billionaire who now keeps the lights burning at the New York Times, he owns the New York Times, gave the Clinton Foundation $2 to $10 million. $2 to $10 million. The New York Times doesn't give, you said, the New York Times doesn't give a damn if foreign interests buy the White House. It is its only concern is to protect Hillary from Republican attacks. And then you go on to say CNN, same thing. And so at the end of Animal Farm, you say the animals are no longer able to tell apart the pigs from the men. And I have said this in interviews before, too. We are now really witnessing the Ministry of Truth, aren't we?
We absolutely are. There's this complete erosion of, I mean, there was obviously always bias in journalism, a certain amount of bias in the press. But I mean, we've reached a point here where there's no actual distinction between the press and the political arms. The press is just another political arm of the Democratic Party. It just pretends to be something else. And it just finds different ways to disguise its agenda. If you ignore its editorials, it's going to say these are editorials are now fact checks. This is the brilliant thing the media came up with. We're going to take an editorial, we're going to call it a fact check. And they're going to roll it in four or five different ways. But at the end of the day, it's still the same exact agenda. There's really no difference between the Obama White House and the media. There's no difference between the Hillary Clinton campaign and the media.
How concerned are you, and this was some late-breaking news, that Google is very heavily involved in the Democrat Party, crushing stories as far as how they trend, burying those that might be against Hillary Clinton. And now with the latest, we know that YouTube, all of a sudden, is going to basically eliminate free speech in that any speech that is not politically correct will not be published. Can you give me your thoughts on that and how this is kind of a war against even conservative thought, or a war against speaking the truth about radical Islam?
It's a major problem because right now there are three major companies that control much of the speech on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Twitter has really gone completely down the bias ladder. Facebook has its own major bias issues. They've really manipulated their algorithm. They've been caught doing that. And Google has had a better reputation as far as free speech is concerned. It's very concerning that they're going down this road, but it's also really inevitable because, again, these companies are intertwined with political interests. They don't exist apart, even apart from their own liberal views. They're very much interconnected with various economic and political agendas. They get all sorts of favors. They need all sorts of government regulations to protect them. So really a lot of free speech on the internet is controlled by these three corporations, and these corporations have the ability to shut down conservatives. They have the ability to shut down traffic to most conservative sites.
That's right. Milo Yiannopoulos was completely banned from Twitter. Charles Johnson was banned from Twitter. These are conservatives. They speak the truth. And they act independently. So that's a concern. And speaking of concerns, something else that came across, and this is what you write prolifically about, is radical jihad and basically creeping Sharia. And I have been asked quite often, and you write about it on Salt and Condition, frontpagemag.com. For those that may not be familiar with your work, I encourage you to go to those two websites. I understand that on 9/11, the Muslims in New York will have, the school children in New York will have the day off regarding a Muslim holiday by Eid Seed, I think it is, the festival. Can you talk a little bit about that? You live in New York, don't you?
I used to live in New York. Now over in L.A.
Oh, okay.
But we've had an insane left-wing mayor, and one of the things that he did in New York was solicit the support of of Muslims and Islamic groups, and he basically gave them everything they wanted, including basically dismantling the NYPD surveillance of terror mosques, which is a very major issue. And the NYPD was arguably one of the most effective deterrents to Islamic terrorism. It's now effectively been crippled. And there are various Islamists in his administration, and they have been able to get anything they wanted, including this.
And we also saw that now that you're in California, there is the latest piece up by an investigative reporter I work closely with named Katie Grimes. And she talks about Muslim Appreciation Month in California. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, it's great to have a Muslim Appreciation Month. I mean, obviously it should be in September because we can really appreciate the enormous contributions that Muslims have made to America in September better than any other conceivable month. We get this from Obama. Muslims have made enormous contributions to America. Again, it's really not too clear what contributions they've made, except when you're waiting in line at the TSA.
That's right. And so we've seen this mass migration, and I've asked also under Hillary Clinton, she had increased substantially Saudi visas. We see mass immigration. She wants to increase Syrian refugees by 550%. This is an open borders policy. And I'm asked in interviews, what is the affinity that the left has, the institutional radical totalitarian left? What is the affinity they have for Islam? What are your thoughts on that?
It's pretty straightforward. Islam and the left, they're both subversive organizations. They both believe in this kind of utopian New World Order in which they're going to overturn all the society and create this kind of perfect system by basically killing everybody who disagrees with them. That's something they have in common. And, I mean, they disagree on how it should be. I mean, they disagree on the final outcome, but they agree basically on the methods, revolution, violent terrorism. This is something the left and Islam very much have in common. They believe that we shouldn't accept this kind of flawed democratic system, one where we actually negotiate things. but which should impose this kind of perfect society by force. Mm-hmm. And they believe that anything that gets in their way should really be eliminated and eradicated. So this is something they have in common, and they're on the same page.
Yeah, and that's similar to my thoughts and what I've said. And it's they're both totalitarian ideologies, and the only way they increase their power is through force, thereby forcing submission. And then anyone that gets in their way must be eradicated. And so I think, do you believe that the perception of Islam and how it's been whitewashed by this administration? This administration has been more prone and more focused on fighting climate change. They can't even say Islamic radical terrorism or Islamic terrorism. Why do you think that is? Not just their affinity, but why do you think they can't say Islamic terrorism in the same? And do you believe, and I know this answer, but I'd like to hear your thoughts, the dangers that await us due to the whitewashing of Islamic terror and combined with that open borders? And let me add to that, Daniel, not to give you too much. Do you see Donald Trump? Do you believe that Donald Trump understands the threat, and do you like his policies? And I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, first of all, the obvious reason to deny that a problem exists is because you don't want to address the problem, because, in fact, you caused the problem, and they very much did cause this problem. They're still causing this problem. Hillary Clinton talks about bringing huge numbers of Syrians to the United States. This is a demographic that was polled with 13% support for ISIS and support for al-Qaeda, I think, around 30%. So mm-hmm. We're talking about bringing tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of potential terrorists to America. And again, despite the media claims, these people are Muslims. The 10,000 Syrian refugees that Obama is boasted of bringing, between 98 and 99% of them are Muslim, even though 10% of Syria is Christian, and even though the most victimized people in this conflict have actually been Christian. So they are very deliberately bringing huge numbers of Muslims to America. They are causing this terrorism problem. Donald Trump called Hillary Clinton the founder of ISIS. That is very true. The Arab Spring really created ISIS, and now they are creating ISIS in America. They're creating Islamic terror cells in the United States. They're causing this problem, so it is very much in their interest to deny this problem. It's in their interest to pretend that this problem doesn't exist. John Kerry has come out and said the media really should just not report Islamic terrorism. People just shouldn't know that this is going on, and this is very much their philosophy. They would, if they really had total control, Islamic terrorism would just not exist. They would just pretend it didn't exist. There would be a bombing, and they would say this was a man-caused disaster, which is how they decided to rename terrorism. Or now, as they put it, it's just violent extremism, and, you know, just continue going on and maybe ban pressure cookers, guns, and trucks, and whatever else might be used. But actually discuss Islamic terrorism.
That's right. And John Kerry also said that BTUs from air conditioners pose a greater threat than Islamic terrorism, if we can believe it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you know, you don't want to laugh because it's so sad. But what do you think the solution is? Do you think that the solution as far as the visa program, the revamping of the visa program, extreme vetting, do you think those are good solutions? Or what do you think is the solution in order to, I guess, confirm or at least guarantee, and nothing's a guarantee, but what's best done to provide our safety and security from this mass migration and really, truly an invasion?
It's a good start. The basic thing you do with the problem is contain the scale of the problem, contain the spread of the problem, and the spread of the problem is fueled by migration. So you do have to cut off immigration from Muslim countries. However you do it, I mean, there are nicer ways to do it. There are ways to roll it in the way it doesn't look aggressive, and Trump seems to be doing that, which is good. But, I mean, you absolutely have to end Muslim migration to America, because every time this continues, the threat just gets worse. I mean, even if the people themselves coming in might be okay, their children might be a whole other example. Because, again, everybody's just a ticking time bomb. There's no way to actually contain the problem without actually stopping the expansion of the problem.
Well, and I think that if people really understood that Islam is about conquest, we'd probably be having a different conversation. But as regards to this conversation, I thank you so much, Daniel. Your time is valuable to all of us that need the truth, want the truth, and seek the truth. So I appreciate the work that you have done on Salt and Knish and Front Page Mag, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
You're welcome. And folks, that was Daniel Greenfield with Salt and Knish and frontpagemag.com. Excellent writer, understands what Islam is, reports on the truth, and you can always find his work pretty informational and should be part of your arsenal of truth. So we will get back to the truth after this next break on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. This is Megan Barth filling in for Kevin Wall on Live and Local Now. Republican Party do, and then they ruin the brand by voting like Democrats.